There are two halachas we learn in the first few sifim from the Siman involving a presumption of mechila of arna. One is the case of arna pachas mishtus, arna less than a shtus, whatever the definition of shtus is, all the different shitas and possibilities, but arna of less than a shtus, you cannot get back, and the poskim say the svara is mechila. The other case of mechila of arna, presumption of mechila of arna, is the case of shah kadesh yara latagar. Halacha is if you wait after the transaction, the period of time that it takes to, you could have gotten a second opinion and you didn't, then that's also the poskim say mechila. So tonight I just want to discuss a few of the, not so much the technical details, but a few of the ideas behind these mechilas, a few fundamental questions about how these mechila, how these presumptions of mechila work, certain nafkaminas halacha l'maisa. So first discussing the mechila of less than a shtus. Rishonim, and following them the Achronim, give various different formulations for what this presumption is. Some of them say derech hakol to be mochel, some of them say rov b'nei adam mochel. The Rush, when he discusses his chakira about whether it's mutter or not, l'chatchila to do a na'a pachas mishtus, so the Rush says, at one point the Rush says it's derech mekechul memkar, derech ha'olam limchol, it's the way of the world, people are mochel ad shtus. Later the Rosh says, not mechila at all, it's just because sometimes people pay more, they're willing to pay more, but when the Rosh discusses mechila, he says it's the derech of the olam. Some poskim use the lashon kol ha'olam. Language of the Rambam is, Ram is discussing actually matbea on money, which is a figure that we skipped. It's, we don't really have this today. Arna on matbea, sela on dinar, a sela that's shaved down. It's not worth a full sela. We didn't get into that sugya because we don't really deal with that kind of money. But in the context of that sugya, the Rambam says, kol pachas mishtus rov bnei adam mochum, b'al nasu matan. Most people are mochum. Elsewhere, the Rambam says, derech hakol limchol, everyone's mochel. The poskim use these different terms about whether the derech of the olam, the derech rov of the olam, the derech hakol. Some poskim suggest that there should be a major nafkamina between these various formulations. If the derech is that most people do, but some people don't. So we know there's a famous rule, ein holchim lamen achar rov. When it comes to the dinim amanus, we generally don't follow the rov. That means is that if someone is muchzik, and someone else has a taina that you that to be motzi money from the muchzik, and the muchzik's defense is based on a miut, and the tovea says, what do you mean? Rov is not like that. Nitva says, no, ein halchan achar rov. As long as I can find even a miut that would be in my favor, I win. Parallel case to us, one example of this is, you have a mekach tovos case, which maybe we'll get to later, but a case where you buy an animal with a certain kind of mum, depending on the purpose of the purchase, what the function, intended function was, for some people it's a mum, for some functions it's a mum, for some functions it's not a mum. Now the contract, the bill of sale didn't specify what the purpose of the purchase was. So the Gemara talks about, what if rove people buy it for this, what if rove people buy it for that? The Gemara says, we pass it, it doesn't make a difference what rove people buy it for. Who cares? The injured party, the buyer who got an animal with a mum, he can say, ain't halchum amon achar a rove, I'm from that miut who needs it, who buys it for this purpose. I'm from the miut. The burden of proof is on you. Ein halchan achar rov, so I win. So several achronim raise this question here too. They say when a person has arna pachas mishtus, all right, most people are mochel. Some people are not mochel. So now, if the buyer says, I'm one of those people who's not mochel, so it should depend who's mochel, they say. In a case where both the item and the money already exchanged hands, so now the mocher is muchzik, he doesn't want to give back the money, and the lekech would like to get the money back. Fine. So the lekech is not muchzik, so he's going to lose because most people are mochel and the mocher is muchzik, so the lekech is out of luck. That's easy. But in a case where the lekech is muchzik, for example, he bought the item on credit and he hasn't paid for it yet. He took delivery, he made a kinyan, but he hasn't paid for it yet, so he's the muchzik. The seller says, please pay me the full price of the object. The buyer says, what do you mean? These are not. The seller says, it's less than a shtus. Most people are mochel. Well, I'm not most people, so I'm not mochel. So I want to give you the full price less than the onah, and the seller wants the full price. Some Achronim, Achron Ephraim, actually suggest that if we accept the formulation is most people are Malchel, it should actually follow that the insofar as the Lokech is Muktzah, he should have the right. He should have the right to say I'm from those people.
This is not a halacha psuka. This is just what we assume people would do. I read the Gemara and just assume it's halacha psuka. This is the halacha.
Right.
Not this is we assume people are going to do it. This is the halacha. The halacha is.
So the Hesber you're suggesting sounds like the Hesber of the Sma. The Sma, he's Ma'asber of the halacha. He doesn't really get into the question of most people or all people. He explains halacha as follows. The Sma says, even if the Lekach says, I was not Mochel, why can't he say that? So he says, the Sma says, Shebitel Daito, Butla Daito, Etel Ruba Dalma. Since most people are Mochel, your opinion simply doesn't count. We're not interested in what you personally think or don't think. Since most people are Mochel, that's it. We're Mavatel Yudas, and we don't care. So according to the Sma, it seems the issue, we may very well believe you. The other poskim are treating it as a question of proof. Who's the muktzah? You know, who's the misafek? What do you do? Can you prove it? What if you have a migu, the poskim say? What if you can prove to us you weren't mochel? Other poskim assume that we're interested objectively in whether you are or not mochel. It's just a question of deciding whether you are or not mochel. The Sma says no. Even if you are taka not mochel, it doesn't make a difference because your das is batel.
Why don't you say the same thing by, if it's Rav Laradia, that you should say the same thing, that
your das is batel?
Yeah.
It's a good question, and we'll cover that at least a little bit presently. So, the Sma is saying something, in a sense, which is enormously mechudash, enormously provocative. The Svar of batel daito is a shas idea. We find it in context all over shas. Very rarely do we find batel daito in Choshen Mishpat. Typically, batel daito appears things like something is not roi lachila. Well, I ate it. Okay, so either you say achshave or you say batel daito. I do something which malach of Shabbos and isurim machalas asuros. I do something which most people wouldn't do. You want to know? Do we care what I do, or am I just weird and we don't care what I did? The halacha doesn't consider something as a thing if most people don't do it. In Choshen Mishpat, where I have the right to make kinyanim or not make kinyanim, it's up to me. I get to decide. It's my money and it's my, I have bailus over it. It's very, very rare that we find batel daito. The Marsham, as a matter of fact, in his Mishpat Shalom and in other places, several places, points this out. He doesn't say it's unheard of. He quotes one or two other examples. He notes that it's a chiddush, that we rarely find batel daito in Choshen Mishpat. He quotes one or two other examples. But even that, he kind of touches on the point that you raised. He says, even if you do say batel daito, which is very uncommon in Choshen Mishpat, it's only shayach to say batel daito, he says, if it's literally kol ha'olam. You're certainly not going to say batel daito to a simple rov. So that which the Sma says, bitel daito etel ruba d'alma, you have to say etel abdaf, you have to say the Sma understood that it was kol ha'olam. We mentioned the Rambam, the Rush, he was different lashonis, whether it's rov or kol. He says, certainly, if you want to invoke batel daito, it would have to be kol ha'olam. Even then, it's a big chiddush, I think, but l'chol ha'pak to be kol ha'olam. And that, I think, would probably answer your question, too. And the Gemara is dealing with a simple rov of Radia. Certainly are some. You can't say batel daito, because some don't. But in the Chanani, batel daito is only shayach to something that nobody does. Even then, I think it's a tremendous chiddush. I actually ran into this a few weeks ago. I was working on a sugya of shutfus. So there's an idea of shutfus, what we call automatic shutfus or objective shutfus. The Gemara Bava Basra says that the Bnei Ha'er, Bnei HaChatzer, people who live together in a city or in a courtyard, can compel each other to mutually contribute to projects, to construction projects or other types of endeavors, which are to the mutual benefit and the mutual need of all the residents. No one has the right to freeload. Nobody can say, this will have to get built, but I'll just wait till you do it and then I'll benefit. You can't do that. If it's clear to Basin that everyone needs it, if it's not clear everyone needs it, then you can't force me to do it. If I say I don't need it or I can do something cheaper, then obviously there are debates about this. But in a case where there's no doubt, Basin sees no doubt whatsoever, everyone needs this, then they all can force each other to contribute. It's a sort of din shutfus, but a very unusual shutfus. Shutfus typically means that we all agree. We start out with an agreement. This is a sort of shutfus. This is a sort of shutfus which is automatic. So I was reading a book on shutfus, a book called Dine Mamonos B'Talmud by Shalom Albeck, where he's masber this idea of shutfus, and he says it's called objective shutfus, shutfus objectivity. We don't actually care. Shukvis does need das, he says, but we don't actually care whether you personally, subjectively have das. Chazal were kaveh that you can make a shukvis out of objective das. And he says, your personal das, he doesn't use the word baladaite, but the idea he seems to be invoking is very similar to the concept of baladaite. We don't care whether you personally have das or not. Chazal were kaveh, most people in the world would have das. I think he uses the word most even. Most people in the world would have das. The fact that you're an outlier, you specifically don't have das, we just don't care. So again, I think that's a tremendous chiddush. It's very, very rare to apply such an idea in chash and mishpah where I have the right not to be mevatel my das and not to give up my property. I would have explained that kind of shutfus more as a kind of basic fairness thing. It's not fair, meet a stone. It's not, even though we sometimes say in kofen meet a stone, the rules are complicated. But I would have said that the chazal, makana, or the rice, or the rabbana, whatever it is, it has less to do with batla daito than a sense of the profound unfairness that for me that I need something and I want to just take advantage of you because you're going to be the one to do it first. I think it has more to do with that, but Albeck seems to learn that it has more to do with the kind of batla daito far. But in any event, Marsham says clearly, if you want to say batla daito, it's going to have to be kol ha'olam, not simply rov ha'olam, like in the case of Radia and Nechzasa, Shechita, and Charisha. A few other remarks about the idea of Kedesh Yair L'Tagar. The Kedesh Yair L'Tagar is the other example where we say that there is a presumption of Mechila. If I wait and don't do anything for a certain amount of time, then there's a presumption of Mechila and I can no longer be Tavei Adonda. There's a very interesting Tosis that we covered a week or two ago. It's very unclear whether Tosis is L'Halacha. It makes a tremendous difference, and it's very unclear from the Poskim whether we accept this L'Halacha L'Maisa or not. The Mishnah says kishyar l'tagar l'krovot, the time it takes to show the object to a professional or to your relative. Tosus asks, "Kain esatav rechel l'shiurim." What kind of share is that? Sometimes the tagar is farther away, sometimes you're closer. What kind of share is that? The Tosus says, "La'olam yesh share echad." Fishamati rov panim shiuchel haris l'tagar l'krovot. Chazal were kaveya, how long it typically takes. I don't know how you figure out what that number is, how you calculate row, but somehow you figure out what the typical situation is, the most common situation is. And if you in particular are krovim or rechokim, b'shvil kach, lo yitnu lo shos, lo pachas lo yoser. It doesn't change by your personal circumstances. It's a fixed share. It's a fixed share of how long it should take to find a tagar under normal common circumstances. At least some posts can assume this tosis is lahalach. Shuvin the Marsham. Marsham was talking about a case of a fellow in his time, late 19th century. It took him, I think, 8 days before he claimed or not. Marsham says, nothing to talk about. That's Kadesh Yair L'Tagar. He says, even if you're going to tell me that in your city there were no Tagarim, we have the post, we have the telegraph, he says. We have modern communications, Twitter. So whatever you have, he says, it doesn't take 8 days in the modern world to... It doesn't take 8 days to find a tagger. And even, he says, if you tell me that in your particular circumstances, for whatever reason, it wasn't practical for you, you got busy, you got stuck, whatever the reason was, you simply could not find out within 8 days what the price was, it makes no difference, he says, what your personal circumstances were. Because we have Tosfos. That Tosfos says that it's a low plug. Chazal established a fixed share and didn't make it totally on the individual circumstances. And we paskin like, he seems to take for granted, we paskin like Tosis. Other poskim, though, say...
Fixed share, but it's variable depending on the times.
Oh, so right, I meant to point that out, that's very good. I meant to note that, too. Marsham seems to very, in the same breath, Marsham is saying it doesn't depend on you. He does seem to think that it depends on your age. And if in modern times we have telegraph, the share changes. So Marsham does seem to assume that it wasn't Mamish a share that was fixed by Chazal, but he does assume that it doesn't go around changing for every specific person.
Which makes sense, though, because why does it say 2 days or 1 day or 6 hours?
I mean, if it was Nikva in the time of Chazal, this is like we're learning in the morning, we're learning Nida, so there's a share of gris. The share of Kasim is a share of gris. So many poskim say that the gris was fixed in the time of Chazal, and even though we don't have the same types of bugs, it makes no difference. Chazal were kaveya, the share of Machalos is a gris. And that tagar, they did say gris. They said gris. But they didn't say gris, but they just told you Kishyar al-Tagar. It makes a lot of sense that it could change. Even after Tosa says that you don't judge each person individually, but you do judge, apparently, the overall society differently. Other Acharim, though, seem to think that Tosa is not lahalacha. They point out that the Rambam and other posts in the Shulchan Aruch do seem to say that it depends on your personal circumstances. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Zayin that if you're an ones and you couldn't go to a tagar, then you have more time. Later in Sif Tazayin, in Sif Tezvav, Shulchan Aruch talks about, Rambam talks about Avanim Tov and Margolius, where the expertise is harder to find. You can, a potato, you can find a pretty good appraisal on, and diamonds are much harder. So he says that, so diamonds take more time, you have to find B'chol Makom Shehem, every place individually. It seems very clear from the language of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and other poskim that it does depend on the particular circumstances. It's not some kind of low plug. I'm very puzzled by why the Marsham thought that the halakha seems to be like Tosfos in his particular cases. We don't look at your circumstance, we look at the general, how long it's taken our era, so I'm not sure. But in any event, in the Ala Yaakov, in Rav Yaakov Castro, we do have a tshuva who explicitly says that it's Machlokas Tosfos versus Rambam and other poskim. Doesn't exactly say how we passed him, but he seems to assume that the many or most poskim were not like Tosfos. What are you saying? I'm sorry, you were going to ask it?
I was just going to say, I'll ask you afterwards. I don't understand the proof in the Rambam because he's talking about a very specialized case. Maybe that specialized case, the whole world is different. But
that might be how the Marsham understood that in specialized types of objects it's different, but within an object you don't look at your personal. You still have to understand the case. The Shulchan Aruch brings about onus where if you're nanas, it sounds very much like the Marsham's case. But in any event, one last point about low plug, I should just mention is that the Nesivos, as well as a number of other Akharim, the Reach Sada, by a Syrian rabbi named Rabbi Dweck, as well as other acronym, say, let's say you actually did show it to a tagar, and the tagar gave you the wrong answer. And so you say, okay, great, the tagar says it's fine, it's good, no, don't worry, you got a great deal. So you let it sit, and 6 months later you find that your tagar was incompetent or corrupt. So what happens then? The Nesiva says, and the Rabbi Dweck says, and other acronyms say, that it's pashut, that it's chaser. The whole point of Geshiaro Tagar is because you're mochel. I was never mochel. I was told it was a good price. So I don't have to get 10 tagars. One tagar is enough. So I was never mochel. So it's pashut. Ein lecha onus gadol mizeh, the Nesiva says. That of course there's no mechila. Some posts can talk about a case where I actually asked a tagar after I did the sale. Some posts can talk about cases where the initial sale was based on an appraisal. Like when we buy houses, we get appraisals at the time of sale. Some person talk about those cases, but in any event, if the sale was based on a wrong price, or if I checked with the tagger and got a wrong price, the Nesivos, the Reach Sada, and others say that, and of course it can be chozer even after Kedesh Yaro Tagger. Again, there is, however, an opinion in the Ala Yaakov, there was a machlokas there of several Rabbanim and different Siurim over there. One of the Rabbanim there says one of the Rabbanim said the same Svara, that if you were misled by the tagger, of course, it's not exeris akasa. Of course, you can still be chazer even later. And the Hasaga there says absolutely not. Just says not mazber. Why? But he just says three or four words. He says im kein ein l'davar sof. So I don't know if that means he thought there was again a low plug that Chazal would just kaveya a share. They didn't allow you to judge each case separately, or he felt dafka in this case for some reason asking a tiger is different. But in any event, this is machlokas. There are one or two opinions who say that we have to that it's a share, and even if you ask a tiger or misled, it's too bad. Then other posts can say, probably the majority of posts can say, that if you've asked a tagar, you're an onus, and then avada, you have the right to withdraw from the sale even later.